Clever bird, clever man, clever, clever fool, said Patchface, jingling. Oh, clever, clever, clever fool. He began to sing. The shadows come to dance, my lord, dance, my lord, he sang, hopping from one foot to the other and back again. The shadows come to stay, my lord, stay, my lord, stay, my lord. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with a second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book.
Sing that for anybody that was wondering.
No. I wanted you to.
We could redo it. We could let you sing it.
I'm okay.
Well, dang. All right. Well, maybe next time. Maybe next time.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
That is
Aaron.
Oh my God, who's that?
Which one?
Really? The dude who's supposed to yell something at us who didn't, and I'm disappointed.
The one he used to yell. Listeners revolted.
I don't know if it was a revolt. That seems wrong to call it what it was not. Damn it.
So I'm just saying, if I'm on the episode with you, I feel like since we're two champs and one chump chums, you should do two champs and one chump's greeting.
Am I the chump in the scenario?
Who's the champ?
Thanks. We don't have zero champs.
We don't have any.
The listeners who get to listen to us badly.
They get to listen to a sweet different arrangement of hosts this week. I don't think we've ever had this particular combination.
We have.
I haven't been on in a while. My name's Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
And then he yawns. He's like, I'm Jesse. I think I'm going to be boring today.
Yeah. I'm planning on sleeping.
That sounds nice.
No, I just woke up from a nap.
In Jesse's defense, he had the power nap so he could make it through this.
Yeah, there's a lot of napping by our hosts.
We're going to drive through the night to Minneapolis tonight. So,
are you?
Oh, snap.
Who are you riding with?
CT.
Oh, that makes sense. No Daryl? We can expect Daryl to randomly not show up again? Got it.
No, Daryl's taking the train up. He has to, like, do job things.
Lame.
Oh, train.
I didn't realize trains ran in Olney or Minnesota.
Yeah.
We're learning.
Well, trains run in Effingham, which is like an hour away from Olney.
Effingham. We're going to be down there for Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
Man, that is the most...
See Effingham every year.
That is the most appropriate hillbilly name town ever. What do you guys do here? The F ham. Perfect.
Yeah. They have the best shirts, too. At all their gas stations, they sell shirts because it's right on the interstate. And it says, I went to Effingham and all I got was this effing shirt. It's great. It's like the ultimate dad joke. But yeah, this is a really cool assortment of casts. We have a chapter pack review, but it's... I think in most of our opinion, it's the best chapter pack of the cycle.
Did I ever do this stupid thing?
There's a lot of really cool stuff.
Like, this chapter pack is the exact polar opposite of how I feel about the Greyjoy box, so that's nice.
Ooh, well, that's good. Well, here, before we delve too far into...
Are you going to do a drawing again?
I want to do our drawing. I already did it beforehand. I've still continued to remember to learn that lesson.
or apply the lesson I learned anyway. And you know what? Listener, fan favorite, moderator of the only Facebook group that matters, Chris S.
Oh, you said, you said it's only on a magnet. Facebook group that matters, and I thought you were going to say Jesse one.
You're on fire.
I really did. I wasn't even kidding.
So close. Did I say it was Kyle?
Hey.
Kyle. I don't think I ever did
that. But you did. But you didn't say hi properly.
Do you want me to do it?
Aaron? I don't believe that this is.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I do.
I did. I was really honored when Roy did it, but then he did like a very Roy-ish job of it, and I was like, I have mixed feelings on what's happening. All right.
The vegans can hear you up.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
I'm dialing that down in post. I am dialing that down.
But why?
I am very happy right now. Thank you.
I have no shame.
That made mine eye.
I gotta save someone out there from having to buy new speakers.
It's funny the visuals on Zencaster, because my bar is so normal and there's just this like giant purple bar.
Yes. Yeah, where you basically max out for 3
seconds. Hey, all I do, that's my life right there, is just maxing out for about 3 seconds.
Story.
My gosh.
We all got lives.
we all have crosses to bear, baby.
We are off to a rocket start. This is focused.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I knew this was going to be a good groove. Well, it doesn't get any better timing than that to go ahead and boot us on over to the chapter pack,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Daggers in the Dark, the ultimate pack in whatever this cycle is. City of Shadows or something?
Yeah, it's something shadow related. The cycle shadow stuff. The cycle.
Yeah.
All right.
Close enough. Shadow stuff, part
since
one.
Jesse just won world with a Stark deck, as soon as you guys hear this, I think he should read the Star Cards.
We can only hope.
He means melee worlds, guys, because I'm playing Star
Cards too. We're in the wrong tense, dude. Worlds was a week ago when this is released.
No, I mean, Jesse, I'm pretty sure, got the hat trick, right? He got Joust, he got melee, and he got
Wow.
I actually can't play melee because I'm on day two of Swiss. So if I make the cut in Joust, I can't play melee.
I hate that they do that.
Because he won.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna play Kingsmoot. I don't know how I feel about it, but I am gonna.
I don't even know what Kingsmoot is. Is Kingsmoot the form I hate?
No, it's like melee with a twist.
Okay. Then I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta like collect 6 titles and stuff. It's a little bit odd.
It's melee the Pokemon. Whoa.
Yeah, you gotta catch them
all. You know what I'd like to catch?
Yeah.
Jesse reading the first card.
Sir.
Wow. All right.
It is Sir Jason Malister, unique Stark character. He is House Tully, Knight, and Lord traded. 4/4. He is a military and power icon. He is non-loyal. While there are no cards in Shadows, Sir Jason Malister gains renown. Reaction, after you win a challenge with Sir Jason Malister's attacking, choose a card in Shadows controlled by the losing opponent and discard it. Do you want me to read them both and then go back?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
A dash Shadows event, so it has to be played out of Shadows. The Bastard's Letter, it's a loyal. It is Shadows of 3, House Bolton traded. Reaction, after an opponent initiates a military challenge against you, stand any number of characters you control with a military icon. If you win the challenge, kill each attacking character.
Talk about whichever one you want, bud.
Jason is good. I mean, like, he's just efficient. Getting rid of cards and shadows, I think, is going to be really strong. So, like, I think he's going to be a big pull on, like, the answer to Cersei later, just like killing people's hands. I mean, he's a lot better now post restricted list. Like when we, you know, like with, I mean, him not being loyal was a little bit odd, but like now that he, I mean, I think he's really good. Bastard's Letter, I don't know if it's good or not, but I'm going to play the hell out of that card. I think it's really cool.
You're going to play that in Melee, right?
Yeah, that card's really cool. And his star is not loyal, so Stark Dragon is funny.
It's also good in the in the agenda that's coming later, where it's like it's free to put into shadows.
Yes, yeah. I also appreciate the artwork on both of them. They're both nice artwork. I would say I give them. I mean, like, anybody else want to talk about them before we rate them?
I very much so love the. Way Bastard is like angrily written in with like a fist clutch pen, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty metal. Like Bastard, the way it's written there, looks like an 80s rock band, doesn't it?
It's sweet. It looks like a Def Leppard album, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Guys, it took me 2
years. Yeah, I think it's cool.
It took me
I also
2
just
years to get
Jason.
Roy to stop talking about the art on cards. And the first episode with you guys, you're like, let's talk about art.
Let's talk about that art.
I'm going to be talking about art this whole episode because I like love several arts, and there's one
I don't
just
even look
hate.
At the cards.
Ooh, it's going to be fun to find out which one.
But no, I enjoy Jason Malister in the books a lot, actually.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah,
you know, he's got that scene where he does that thing with
I don't care
sword.
Who he is. This card is badass.
He's a good card. I like Jason Malister. He's cool. I like House Tully stuff.
Is he the best House Tully card?
I'm a sucker for House Tully. No.
I have no idea what that card does.
Have you seen the Tumblestone?
I seem to remember he had some.
I don't know what that is. I'm just going to take your word.
No, the best House Tully card is for sure Fat Cat. And the second one is River Run Minstrel.
Skagos.
Actually, the best House Tully card is Skagos.
All right, so
Skagos is the best House Tully card. I give them a B.
Yeah,
B is good. I don't know if Bastard's Letter is good. I'm with Jesse. The jury's out, but it's one of those cards that if you're just there to like piss off your friend who's been beating you on your weeknight. Like game kit games, this is a card that will do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Glazer?
I think Bastard's Letter is probably kind of bad.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool and fun, but like, I think it's probably.
But it'll just blow
if you're
people
an answer,
out, right?
You can,
like,
would Fealty work on this?
No, you can't Fealty to bring something out of shadows.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, so yeah, I'm gonna go with this is bad. It's good in Stark Dragon, I guess. But even then, like that deck is super tight for spaces, and I don't think you can run this.
And
like it's not better than the five cost target effect.
Well, I mean that's proactive. So I mean Bastard's Letter is extremely reactive. So the target event is for sure better.
I mean, like, I feel like I'd just rather run Put to the Sword and make Jesse happy than run Bastard.
Well, I mean,
Put
to the Sword.
Oh, wait, does
and
this.
And how many characters.
Does, wait.
Go.
Does Sea of Blood work with this?
Yeah.
Like,
military
just, challenges.
You can make it, like,
search it up.
Free. No. Like, you can make it free if you already have it in Shadows. Yes. Oh, yeah, I could see running this in a Sea of Blood.
Right? Does Sea of Blood work for Shadows cost?
I don't see why it wouldn't. You're still playing the event, right?
Yeah.
Does the Neely thing, the location that Neels to reduce events, work for Shadows?
Because
if not, then neither.
No,
does
Sea of Blood
Whatever.
Does.
We don't know
sea
how rules work in this game.
Okay,
I'm gonna message Roy to double check.
So, what's your rating on them, Glazer?
Oh, I want to talk about Jason. I think Jason's might bust the meta and mean like. Keep Stark at the top of the game for a long time. Because I expect a lot of shadows going forward.
Yeah.
I don't know why I need
to
start
I was
there.
About
Sorry,
to pause the episode for a quick reminder.
There's no need for a curse there. I apologize. But like I expect a lot of shadows in the meta. And like assuming you can win a challenge with Jason, even if he never has renown, he's still probably going to have renown most of the time. But even if he never has renown, he's going to be a monster. I think the big problem with Jason is that Stark has one of the two or three best Shadows cards in the game, and that will turn him off.
Yes.
So I'm going to give them a C+ on the strength of Mira's amazing and Bastard Letter probably doesn't see combat.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about Mira, at least, though, is she's not always in Shadows, right? She's in and out. So I don't think it's that crazy to think you could work her around Jason to activate that.
Sure.
Is that how you want to be choosing when to use her?
Well, I mean, there's other factors. It may be
turned on a lot more than you think. Because, like, a lot of times you're using Mira and Marshalling, or you're using Mira in the beginning of challenges to blank something before challenges begins. Or, like, after challenges begins is, like, a pre-challenge action. So you'll do that, and then you'll do your challenges with Jason or whatever. And then if you have sacrifice tech to put Mira back in Shadows, it's after you've already gotten the renown on Jason. If you sequence it correctly, I think it should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to think it out.
Yeah, and I mean, if not, like, his reaction is still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it makes him a one-of and not a three-of, right?
I don't know. We'll have to test. I don't know.
I think it depends on the prevalence of other Shadows.
Somehow, I think it might actually depend on the prevalence of other Stark.
Sure.
Because there is a specific Stark card that makes Jason way worse.
That's fair.
What card is that, guys? Roy is looking up the ruling, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to give them a C+ on the strength of Mira, Ward, and I'm really unsure on Bastard Letter, at least until we get a ruling. If it works with Sea of Blood, I'll probably bump them to a B.
Shadows works with Sea of Blood. That I already said. Okay. Tourney Grounds.
The Bastard's Letter is probably better than we think it is.
Yeah.
It might be. I sort of hope it is, but it's still sort of like, I mean...
Stark Sea of Blood is going to be
When you
good.
Make a military challenge, like, how many characters are you normally throwing into one these days? Like,
even if it's one, like, what is it? You know what I'm saying? Even if it's one.
I mean...
Is the 5 gold investment worth killing?
They need you standing all your dudes. So, I mean, it's not just the killer.
Okay, so, I mean, if you've also managed to, like, work initiative so that you went first and you knelt out your board, and then while you were knelt...
And you're playing the right
They decided to attack all out on the military and, like... I don't know. I think Bastard's Letter is going to underperform. I mean...
Dude, I've got a deck. I'm telling you. This deck is sweet. Bastard's Letter's going to be great. No, it's a joust deck. No, you use King Rob, like King Rob's host, like all that nonsense with war plots and stuff. Oh, man. You just like go with King Rob, go first, win initiative. If they do a military back to you, you got Sea of Blood going. Stand King Rob.
I'm going to suggest.
This deck is sweet.
I'm going to suggest that if you want your Rob to stand, then perhaps King Rob. we'll see when we win Worlds. All right.
Okay.
No, you've already won Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. Come we already Eric, talked
stay
about
that. Message.
We'll see when we print Westeros. All right. Okay.
Well, I don't think I ever actually.
What was your rating?
Yeah, gave him a rating. I think overall, I'm probably going to give Stark a B out of this. I think Jason's pretty efficient. I'm not sold on Bastard's Letter. I do at least just want to point out that I find it interesting. Jason seems to be another kind of example that FFG or Danny or whatever that combination is doesn't really trust Shadows as much in second edition here. I feel like there's a lot more anti-Shadows tech printed this time around. So it's interesting.
Is there?
Or at least maybe much better anti-Shadows tech. Maybe I should say that. First edition had some, but it didn't really see play.
Roy thinks it doesn't work, by the way.
Sea of Blood? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm going too far out on a limb by accepting...
I'm now set.
I mean, in plain...
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean,
I sent him to Wama.
I mean, he's also linked to the response thread regarding reductions on Card Game DB. He's actually linking to his GAR, but the reason is because it is clarifying playing event and bringing a card out of shadows, and whether that counts. Yeah. And the ruling seems to be that it does count as playing the card or the event.
Wait, but his GAR does make an event cheaper.
Yes, but the clarification.
His GAR doesn't lower.
It's coming out of shadows, so that suggests
the clarification here is saying that shadows.
Didn't we just reboot the fucking game so this wouldn't happen?
All right, let's move on. I asked a couple people. We'll see. We'll get some responses.
Did you also? Nice.
Yeah, I asked Colin.
Oh, that's probably the right.
I mean, it probably is.
So we'll see what Colin says.
Let's kick Tyrell around while we wait then.
Yep.
Who's up on Tyrell? Dang.
I'm not reading that trash.
What? I'll read it.
Strong opinion. I like these cards. I'll take them.
No, I just hate Tyrell.
Oh.
I don't hate these cards.
Oh, okay. Well, here, tell. I'll go for it. First up, we've got.
We're back to it does work. Okay, it probably works.
Okay, Sea of Blood and Cheddar's events work. All right, so first up for Tyrell.
Colin said yes, it works for sure.
There we go, it's settled. You can Sea of Blood Bastard's Letter, although you're still paying 2 gold for it in a deck that wants it to be
free. See, nobody trusts me when I say stuff. Nobody listens.
I mean, I didn't not trust you. I just didn't trust Emplate.
Now
I read the response thread on Card Game DB.
Which was an answer from Emplate.
I thought Will was doing it.
Was it?
Someone's doing Tyrell. Who's doing Tyrell?
Okay, here we go.
Will,
do it. Third time's the charm. First up is a non-union character, Shrewd Diplomat. She's not loyal. She's 3 cost, has a power icon, 3 strength, ally, and spy. She has 2 keywords, Ambush 5 and Shadow 3, and reaction after Shrewd Diplomat enters play during a challenge, choose a participating character. Stand to that character and remove it from the challenge. And then Arbor Marketplace. This is finally their non-unique income. It's going to be 2 cost, House Redwood trait, challenges action, Neil Arbor Marketplace to choose a participating character. Until the end of the challenge, that character gets +1 strength. And, of course, it gives +1 gold. Honestly, I really like both of these cards. I think they're both very solid, workhorse kind of cards. Arbor Marketplace, from just an econ perspective, is kind of in an awkward spot with Tyrell that's just like overflowing in income riches. But that floating +1 strength really mucks with challenge math. It's attack or defense. You don't have to be controlling the character. So I love to point out good old melee, or even in a pinch boosting, I don't know, your opponent's Theon, so your defenders count. Just a possibility. So I like it. I think it actually probably has a home in some decks, whether you're really just counting on Randall or using it elsewhere. The Shrewd Diplomat I also like. Definitely leans more in a control direction that still hasn't quite come together for Tyrell with all these removal effects. Standing characters, so your opponent gets to use them for something else, is still, I think, a big drawback here. But this is flexible. I like finally having more shadow stuff to power things like Bowels or Undercity. I'm definitely going to be considering playing this, maybe with some Lanny stuff, Cersei, try to work out some control. But I don't know. It's interesting to have both Ambush and Shadows on the Diplomat. It's weird. I think it's maybe another sign that they don't really trust Shadows. You know, we've seen so many cards that didn't really need Shadows to do what they do and are virtually never played into Shadows. And now here's the shrewd diplomat that really just literally says, hey, you could just ambush this instead for the same cost. It's just interesting. So there we go.
I think shrewd diplomat. Good broken.
Woo.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's three cost. It should be four. It should not work with Flea Bottom.
There you go.
And there it is. This
card is real good. It's super good.
This is finally our critical mass of standard remove stuff. Like, we knew we were going to hit it eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love this card. Absolutely. Glazer always talks about how bad he hates Tyrell, but he's going to like Tyrell.
Oh, yeah, that's a control deck. I would play that deck.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this deck is going to be sweet. Also, this might actually be HRD Highgard Ninjas, not like in Melee.
Yeah,
I think this card is super good.
I would play that. I would absolutely play that. Because there's 15 of these damn effects, right? Like, there's so many of these effects.
Yes, yeah. Marjorie's Influence, Queen of the Seven Kingdoms, Sept of Hysterica, Heil Hunt, Highgarden, Offer of a Peach. There's enough there. I think there's enough there. The issue is, like, I don't know if there's enough there to be tier one, but this is a base. Like, this,
the question is,
this card being, yeah, so, I mean, I think it's probably just like a ladies deck, but this card being non-unique is real, real good.
Well, you know what you could play to win, right? Like, you just fucking be like, Mace, and you can't win a challenge. So, Mace.
No, dude. You just play Queen of Thorns and the Emealer over and over, and then like are using the Marjorie's Influence and Queen of Seven Kingdoms on her, so you're standing her as well as you're standing other people to remove them from challenges. But every time you kneel them, you're going to get all men or fools, and then you're like, power.
Uh-oh.
And you're like, three all men or fools.
So you know what we just learned? This is not a deck I will play. That is broken, however. And I look forward to us
it's like the Gen Con making the hiatus completely
miserable for everyone.
Well, the one thing I will throw out there, isn't all men are fools on the restricted list now?
Yeah, but nothing.
Flea Bottom, if Jesse wants to abuse this with Flea Bottom.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, I think there. But yeah, I really like this card a lot. Arbor Marketplace is boring, but it's really good.
Arbor Marketplace is way too good. It really annoys me. Like, Tyrell did not need this. On top of, like, restricting... sorry about that. This one I actually mean, though. On top of restricting breaking ties, screwing over my good friend LGB, power to LGB, free LGB, because, like, giving Randall just three strain pumps that stay on the board like this, on top of the other two locations that do the same thing, and the, like, five characters that do the same thing, speaking of critical mass, is... really just too much. Like, Tyrell Rush is going to be real gross and nasty in a way that
he ain't wrong.
The game really needs at all.
Yep.
I get these cards an A+.
I'm at A-. I want to see the stupid Shrewd Diplomat deck actually figure out a way to close, because it's going to want Flea Bottom, so I want to see that figure out a way to close before I go higher. But A-, it's still real good.
Europe will love Shrewd Diplomat.
Yeah,
but they're bad. They didn't win Worlds. You did.
I definitely didn't.
It's going to be great releasing this episode later when all this BS talk actually happens. I'm going to love it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I can't wait until I just miss the cut and then everyone's like, gosh, Jesse's trash. I'm not listening to anything he says by any of his cards. Man.
Well, I'll jump in and give him an A as well. They seem very, very efficient at what they do. Who's on Night's Watch?
All right. Kyle's on Night's Watch because I want Barra.
I'm on that Night's Watch.
For some reason.
All right. We have Nightfort Builder, a non-unique character, loyal, cost 2, the power icon, 2 strength, and the builder trait. I'm always so happy to see more builders come out.
Did it just beat you in the top 4 of a tournament, or did it just beat me in the top 4 of a tournament? Jerk.
Dang. let's see. Eight reaction. Points. After Nightfort Builder is knelt, reveal a top card of your deck. If it is a Night's Watch location or attachment, draw it. So that's cool. I love that it's just when he is knelt, so anytime you can tag team on those. Anytime it's like, oh, I can use him to defend, to attack, whatever, for whatever other cost, and then on top of that, boom.
Yep.
You could also use him as a Shadow Tower Mason.
Castle Black Mason.
Trigger.
Yeah,
Castle Black Mason.
Get a lot of
and him. Yeah. He's good. He's real good.
All right. Jesse, read Daggers in the Dark while we wait.
It is a dash event, so it's a free Shadows event. Or it's like it has to be a Shadows event. Shadows of 2. After you win a challenge, after you win a challenge as a defending player, choose and kill an attacking character. The attacking player may sacrifice two characters to cancel this effect.
I mean, that's unplayable, right?
Oof. I don't know about that.
You think it's
unplayable? Is a bold word.
I mean, okay, it's not playable in T1 competitive decks unless you are just trolling.
I mean,
I don't know. I'll have to talk to Tomas about this card. Like, Night's Watch defense isn't my forte. I don't think it's playable in like builders, but if there's like a Night's Watch defense deck out there that like it might be like a one of, or
it's cheeky. First time it gets played on you, you're not gonna think twice about it again.
Yeah, I don't know if it's unplayable.
I don't think a defense deck could afford
the
four.
I think the card pool's gotten to a certain...
I don't think that it could afford a four. And I think in a defense deck, you're not doing enough to whittle your opponent's board down, so they're almost always going to just have two shits to deck.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Night for a Builder is baller, though. The card is real annoying.
I'm going to give it like a
Night's Watch as a whole?
Plus, maybe?
I think I'm B-. I think Nightport Builder is like an A card.
I'm pretty high on the Builder, too. I think I give them a B in total here. I also think Daggers in the Dark. I mean, if you guys think there's some strong potential with the Bastard's Letter, I think Daggers in the... somewhat. I think Daggers in the Dark is at least somewhere in that discussion. It's a little cheaper. It doesn't...
I really like Daggers in the Dark. But... Usually when I like cards,
it means I'm
going to
be cutting it.
So
I'm going to be cutting it from a lot of decks for the next few months.
There you go.
I like it. I'll go B+. I will be the most bullish of the hosts on this one. I like both these cards. I think they're really good.
Nice.
Just Daggers in the Dark just strikes me as such a good, like, mindfuck card. And I mean, on some level, you talk about, like, how do you sometimes beat builders as you go really wide and you swarm around them. And if you can, normally not hurting for the gold, if you can just chip, either choose one or they have to sack two, like, I mean, just pair away the guys.
I think builders is hurting for the gold. Like, if they're not hurting for the gold, they're already set up. And if they're already set up, then the game is over.
I don't know. I like it. I'll go B+.
Cool.
Alright, let's read some badass cards. Red Ronnet is a Barra card. 4/4, mill of power, House Connington a knight. No attachments to the weapon. Well, Red Ronnet is attacking it, and player controls a card in Shadows. Raise the claim on your plot by 1.
Woo-woo!
Right, but that's not even the good one. The good one is Banished from the Light, which is a Shadows loyal event. It's got a little dash, like Jesse liked. Shadows 2. Somehow, this costs the same as the others. After you win a power challenge, choose a character. Place it in Shadows with a Shadow token on it. While that card is in Shadows, it gains Shadows X. X is its printed cost. That's amazing. Jesse, why is that amazing?
That card will be top 8 Astolic for sure. I'm not kidding.
It should be. It makes Barra a T1 faction, like, by itself.
That card is insane. You just put their best character in Shadows. It's hilarious. Greyjoy or Lannister spends, like, 7 or 6 on their best character, and then you're just like, put it in Shadows.
Yeah, just go straight away. Or, like, chuck your dupes, have a nice day, at the very worst.
It's good.
It's
like it opens up a lot of very interesting builds. I think Hanno is going to have a field day with this card.
Yep. Oh my god.
This card is good. A plus.
Red Ronnet's really cool too, though.
So. Yes.
Like Red Ronnet's a one of in every Barrett deck until he cycles out. You find space for him. And like then your opponent's playing a shadow deck and they're just really sad and try and keep their own stuff out of shadows. Because
I think all those cards are like a one of, right? Like a one of Red Ronnet, one of the One Who Stands, like one of the Bastard Knight. So like, they have a lot of like they're starting to like slowly get like a lot of really good like mid range characters.
Yeah, I think that's important because that's a lot of what they were lacking. Good efficient bodies. Like it was like Mel, Bob, and a bunch of cards that were complete and utter trash. And I was like, Mel, Bob, and a bunch of cards that are really annoying that you would like to get off the board. Justin Massey.
They're also lacking just like a true identity that like doesn't that like half the houses in the game just don't like I kneel. Oh, I stand. Oh, cool. Yeah. That sucks.
Banish from the light really helps. Really helps with this. Just to be able to like be like, all right, I don't you played Victarion. I'd like to draw cards this turn. I want a power challenge. Go away, Victarion.
Yeah.
It's real good. And like I don't mind this one, unlike the other two, I really don't mind playing 4/4. Because it gets around so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it gets around things, and you're getting it. You have some proactive ability there to just win your own challenge.
And it works on a defense. So like, they want to power into you to try and stop your draw or whatever else, and it's just like, nah, man, you go sit in shadows. Doesn't have to be a participating character, like all around, just real good. Like, especially if you can do it after they've already burned their trade routes, so that you can waste the whole tempo of another turn, or if they're only running reducers, can't do anything to get that big guy out again.
What? The only thing I don't like about it is it's like crappier bounce because you can't get at the Shadows character, like as opposed to like if you could bounce it to hand and then intrigue it. So
Jason Malister could.
Yeah, there we go.
You have to know which card that is because you put a Shadows token on it. So it's not like they can play any kind of shell game. They can't rearrange.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, I was trying to think of like why do we put this stupid token on it? That was the other thing I didn't like about it, but that makes sense. I'm there now.
Yeah, and it's also so at the end of the game that, like, you can prove that cards weren't, like, cheated into shadows that shouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah, dude, and then I'll play Barrel Wolf, and I'll banish on the power challenge, and then I'll do a military with Jason Malister and banish
there
that card
go.
With the shadows. Be sweet.
Be banished from the light, and then you're banished from the shadows.
Yeah.
It's like, peace out. Yeah, I think it's strong enough just in making them have to continually replay stuff. Like, if you get two of these, like, your opponent's in a lot of trouble. Like, this might be starting to set up a Barrier attrition. If this wasn't loyal, this would go on my, this would make Barrier, Martell's stag not have to be super boring. Thanks, Jesse.
I think that would push Martell's stag over the top.
I think this is an A plus faction.
Agreed.
Yeah. I can be there too. This seems to be the sort of stuff Barra's been wanting. They're finally getting that. It's been all over the map this cycle, but at least it's all been pretty good.
Yep. Even though these next ones are supposed to be mine, I'm going to give it up to the landing loyalist here. Will, you can talk about this beautiful card.
I feel like in second edition, my loyalty has wavered, but I'll go for it anyway.
This card is really good.
Yeah, this is one I'm sure you want to talk about the artist, but I'll let you do that in a minute. It is by the best artist in the game. So for Lannister, we've got a new Cersei Lannister. She's loyal, 6 cost, intrigue and power icons, 5 strength, shadow 5. And reaction, after a card you control comes out of shadows during the challenges phase, each opponent discards one card at random from his or her hand, limit 3 times per phase. And then we've got underhanded methods. It's a Lannister attachment, 1 cost skill, shadow 0, and attached character gets +1 strength for each card you control in shadows.
I think Underhanded Methods is probably not great. I'm a little bit interested at Shadow Zero, since that's the only thing we've seen other than what's-his-face, the Night's Watch guy.
Tunnels of the Red Keep, baby. Tunnels of the Red Keep.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of lets you move some gold around, maybe with bowels. And strength's cool, but I don't know. I don't feel like right now we're at a place where Shadows is just going to be like sitting on like three or four cards in Shadows the way it was in First Ed sometimes. So
I think Lanny Kraken is there right now.
I hope so.
I think Lanny with this agenda is there right now.
Yep. My prediction is Lanny Kraken wins Stalic.
Hmm. Okay.
Really? You think with this combo?
Absolutely. What?
You think with these cards?
Yeah, with Cersei.
I was
going to
say with methods. Like I still don't think it's a great card.
Let me ask Old Brothy how he feels about underhanded methods.
Part of what made Tunnels good in First Ed was it affected your whole board. Like one character here, I don't know if that's enough.
I mean, it's just the trigger for bowels, I think.
And yes, like, absolutely.
That you're comfortable keeping in Shadows for as long as you would really.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you just let this sit in Shadows and you're totally fine. Paying two for that's annoying. Like, this is, I think Martell Lion might be actually better than Lanny Kraken. Although, I guess you lose Cersei, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, being able to just, like, put this into Shadow for one and then draw two cards seems real good to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just different decks, right? Like, the deck I'm talking about is, like, total hand destruction.
Yeah. But,
and maybe that's the control that Aaron's been begging for. Not necessarily board control, but you could obliterate a hand pretty quick with this, I think.
I mean, like, Lanny Kraken, I'm pretty sure you're probably running Castle Rock and 3x Pinch of Powder in that deck well. You're probably putting cards back in their hand, and then you're probably discarding them pretty quickly.
Run to Defil? You run to Defil?
probably still not.
I think it's pretty good.
Yes, you definitely run things like
that. Really? Absolutely.
With, man, with all, yeah, 100%.
With all the hands judgments floating around?
It was
around?
A sarcastic question.
I don't know what hands judgment.
I haven't seen hands judgment.
I thought I said paper shield for a second there. No, hands
judgments. Oh, okay. No. Yeah, no, I haven't seen hands judgments at all. Like, they've been out of the meta, and like, I've got no problem. Like, I don't use things I do for love to bounce your big guy. I use it to bounce your small guy, and then I march your big guy to the wall.
Sure. I don't know. I'm thinking with
Cast Paws amazing.
With the Cersei and such.
And then you clever fiend.
I'm thinking Queen's Assassin starts looking a lot better to me again.
My problem with Queen's Assassin, I was really excited for Queen's Assassin, but it does not work with Stupid Shadows agenda.
Well, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, it's not in your play.
I know. It just
makes me sad. But still, if I'm...
No, we all realize that... If Queen's Assassin was interplay, then every single Lannister deck ever. No, I'm just saying, like, every single Lannister deck ever.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Can you imagine that with Flea Bottom? Jeez.
I give this an A based on solely that I think Cersei Lannister will be a very big part of the game.
This Cersei's probably an A+. Underhanded Methods is like a C at best. So it seems okay.
I think it's just because it triggers. It's like the same thing as like the zero cost warship that they leaked in the Greyjoy box.
Right.
That's on an A card, but it's a zero cost warship and Vic exists, so it's an A card.
Even exactly. If it was
like this is Shadow Zero.
Well, sure. It's still two to put it.
Well,
in.
You Shadow Zero, you clever fate. Yeah, but clever faint card. So every time you have one,
there you go.
Have two. Clever faint is an amazing card.
I'm hoping this pack absolutely. Now is the critical mass to really make it worthwhile. That's now.
Oh, it's been worthwhile. It's T 1.5, but like both Lanny Kraken Lanny, Sun, and Martell Lion are all good. And all three run clever paint.
Sure. I mean, and now in with this pack, I mean,
yes,
we're really adding some more stuff there. True Diplomat, Cersei, Makaro, they all are going to love getting triggered multiple times. Spy even, maybe?
Yep. Yep. All right, well...
I'm going to give them an A+. I think they're an A+.
Yeah, this is an A+ on the back of Cersei.
Welcome back.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. Jesse didn't spend like any time talking about her art. You sure you don't want to gush over that for a while?
The art is beautiful. The art is beautiful. It's the Megali Cersei. It's very, very pretty.
I'm a little disappointed. You didn't spend any time talking about how this makes Klansman not the best Lannister.
What are you talking about? He's playing this in Klansman, right?
Probably not.
No.
What? I found the bridge too far.
I mean, as soon as they were like as soon as Klansmen could be good, they're like, oh, we're gonna start breaking ties, and it's like, oh, Vic exists. Oh, rip. Oh, yeah. I have first action, I kneel Harrenhal. Oh, I have second act, I have another action, I'll kneel Tower of the Hand. You lose, idiot. Get out of here.
Or they let cool. let you trigger Harrenhal, then fucking kneel your tower. And you're just like,
All right, yeah, so I'll take these next cards. I love these cards.
That's way sweet.
Makaro.
You love both?
Maybe. Makaro is maybe legitimately my favorite
okay.
side character in all of Thrones. I love him so much. I love the interactions with him and Vic. So I'm a very big Makaro fan. He's just like a sarcastic. I adore him. He's a 3/3 Shadows card. Shadows of 5. He's a monocon power. He's non-loyal, unique reaction. After Makaro comes out of Shadows during a challenge, choose a defending what? Character and place it on top of its owner's deck. Woo-hoo. Oh, he's ally and R'hllor traded. Sorry.
Is there any way to make him cheaper?
I don't care.
Well, after you win a challenge, it's still in a challenge. So if he was in a Tyrell deck, I guess. Oh, or a Martell deck.
A one cost Shadows event. Loyal. Rhymes with meek. Shadows of 0. After you win a reaction, after you win an unopposed challenge, draw 2 cards. 3 cards instead if you played this event from Shadows. Both these cards are very, very good.
Really?
I don't think
that's a good draw.
I think this is a better Shadow 0 card.
Entirely. Sure.
Well, so we had this fight.
Makaro is a game. Makaro is a game winner.
Yeah.
Like Makaro is a blowout play. It's so good in a pillage deck. It's insane. Like this card is so good. This card with New Baylon is gross. Oh, God. I love this card. I love the design space of this card. This is the kind of Greyjoy stuff that I enjoy. The Rhymes of the Meek is not the style of Greyjoy I enjoy, but that card is so good. You just play a couple stealths, or you can play it in Crossing, but draw. Like, Greyjoy desperately needs draw. It's so good.
So there's this thing I do against Greyjoy, like, every time I play them, and it's called Defending.
So there's this thing that like Greyjoy just hasn't done in a while because hasn't needed to. It just slam 7 costers. But there's this thing in Greyjoy where they have like this whole package that gives stealth and takes people out of challenges with like Kraken's Grasp.
They
and,
got the new Shadow.
Okay, like Lord Baylon and Little Theon. I'm just saying like Rhymes. Yeah, so, Grey Ghost. Like I this think... card is super good in Greyjoy Crossing. Like really, yeah, really good.
I think that if that became good, the meta could adjust relatively quick. I don't think that, like, this is where Greyjoy is going. And I could be wrong, right? Like, it's just, I know that, like...
I think there's big enough card pool that both those decks can be tier 1.
Maybe. I just think that, like, if Rhymes with Meek decks became seriously tier 1, like,
I mean, I don't think they're
like
gonna
the answer is so simple. That it just
decks. I think it's just an efficient kind of like better than filler, well, but
No, it's just like
it's unopposed stuff's going to happen over the course of the game. Even if you're against Greyjoy, are you really going to sit there the entire game to make sure? Oh, man, you're really not pushing much of your own challenge.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to stealth past you.
They literally. I don't. I wait until I've whittled their board. To, I guess I play.
They're going to stealth past you. They have stealth.
I mean, everyone.
If you're playing if you're playing Martell, you cannot get bigger than Balon with Worship. You can't get bigger than Vic with Pike. Like, you just can't do it.
Okay.
Like, I'm telling. Like, I just think this card is good. I think this card is the same as Drowned God's Blessing. I think it makes that deck tier one. I don't think this is the card that's insane. It's just like so many times in like, and I don't even like that deck. I'm telling you, like, so many times Greyjoy Crossing by turn two, you like look at your hand, you're like, oh, I have two cards. Rip. You win or you die next turn or nothing. But now, like, you just have like, in you don't have to protect it in your hand. You can put it in shadows, like, so like don't you don't have to worry about Greyjoy coming back.
What is money? To
spend that money?
Greyjoy doesn't care about money, dog.
Yeah, they do.
You just not if you're. I think
I just disagree. I think Mokuro is freaking phenomenal in the right deck. I don't think I agree about this card.
I'm giving this an A to Greyjoy. I'm very high on both of these. I agree completely on the blowout potential of Mokuro. I mean, he's, you know, there are only so many places that could potentially be a worse place to be than sent back to than the top of the deck. And I'm not sure if Shadows is worse. I mean, removed from a game might be the only other, like, worse place to be than this.
I mean, there is a card in Greyjoy that once it's in your discard
pile. Oh, this is true. This is true.
Like, Mokuro just flows so well with all of Greyjoy's stuff. He's so cool. He's so cool.
He flows real good in Lannister too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great banner card. Like,
well, Lannister just good. Makes him cheap. Cheap as can be.
Oh, I think this card's just really cool. And I don't think he's an unfair card. I think it's a really balanced card. And I just think he's really good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's the right way to use Shadows too. Like,
yes, absolutely. Yes.
Kyle and
what do you think, Kyle?
I go back and forth. I like him. I think it's such a Aaron talks about defending, but like this was the anti-defense card.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've got a beef wall that you can't get past, let's say, hypothetically, then yeah, just Mokuro him out. Why not? I love it.
Rating?
Yeah, Kyle, what's your rating for it?
A+, though, just a normal A if his name is actually Mokuro, as Glazer says.
Who says that?
That freaked me out.
It is Mokuro.
There you go.
George R.R. Martin says I can pronounce it however I want.
Oh.
George R.R. Martin does say that. You are correct, Glazer.
Yeah. So his name is Nancy. Got it?
This is going to weird places.
Who has these next cards that suck?
Kyle does. I'm doing Martell, shocking everyone.
Great.
Yeah, definitely don't.
They don't suck. He was being freaking.
Yeah, I hate the design space.
Really?
Looking. Brazen Targ. Beast out of Targ, a non-unique character, cost 4, military intrigue, strength 4, non-loyal, with the guard trait, which I don't think we've seen any tech of other than out of Martell. But this is no attachments, Shadow 3. And as a marshalling action, you can pay 3 gold to put Brazen Beast into Shadows from your discard pile. Which I think I like.
So here's the thing. You definitely messed up there by saying one thing. You said we haven't seen guard tech, but outside of Martell.
Yeah, but they're not tech.
The best two Tyrell cards are guard traded.
Yeah, but they're not guard tech. They're just guard traded.
Yeah, no house man would be guard. Like
the guard trade is incidental. All right. Read the second one, Kyle.
Gifts for the widow.
Oh.
An event cost X. Action, search your deck for an attachment with printed cost X or lower and put it into play attached to a character you control. Shuffle your deck. I like this a lot. I like this a hell of a lot.
Oh. Do you think this card should exist?
I don't know if it's good for the game.
Bad for the game.
If we're just looking
at it,
it's real bad.
You don't think it's good?
Oh, no. This deck is real good. That card is real.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I don't know what I'm missing here, but I mean, yeah, just the ability to go get your like crown of gold, like that's cool.
Nope, can't get crown of gold.
Yeah, you can. You can put it on a character you control. You can tell them to get, but you would never do that. No,
Queen's Guard. Sure. That's the one.
You want to go get. You want to go get Tokar, Queen's Guard, Silver Steed. It's non-loyal, which I hate because now all like. The Queen's Guard decks are just going to continue to be there, which is super annoying. But this is built for Danny Voltron for sure.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be Danny Voltron. It's also built for Randall Voltron and John Voltron
about that a little while ago.
And Victoria Voltron. Pick a Voltron. This card supports Randall Voltron. Pick a Voltron. This card is there. It's good. But you, like, even if you're just getting
a, there's a lot of flexibility. Right? The fact that it's not locked into something.
So, here's the thing. You now can run in cohort decks. You can now run the 17 to 20 attachments you need and these three events. They just, like, get you started. Like, you're just going to get started so much quicker on whatever you need. Like, I played a lot of Kohor, like a lot of Kohor. It's my favorite agenda in the game. Like, this card should not exist.
Yeah, like you just seek out.
It takes away any barrier.
I mean, this would be better if it was like a cost 2 and you could go get a 1 cost, or if it was like X minus 1. I think that would be stomachable. But the fact that for other than the physical space in your deck, you pay no premium.
Oh man, I don't even have to pay anything to go get Green Sight. Or, sorry, Green Dreams.
Love it.
That's right. That's right.
Pro play we never talked about.
Also, like, I don't know. There might be, like, a Night's Watch cohort deck out there that's good. There might be a Night's Watch Rose cohort deck out there. Now there might be a Night's Watch Dragon cohort deck out there. You can just go fetch Queensguard, or you can go fetch Sworn to the Watch for free.
Yeah, this is bad.
Yep.
Card should not exist.
Oh, and you can get the thing that gives John all the traits, but paying 0 gold.
Correct.
Man, if this was out, that would be
but
a
But guys, attachments are the weakest.
It would be. I would have convinced you to play it.
Okay?
Well, that's I mean, it's fine. Congrats. It's fine. We won worlds anyway. What is... I think.
In
I don't know what would the weakest
in second edition. They're definitely not as good as they used to be.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, events are actively kind of bad, right? Yeah, I think it's events fairly unarguably. Like attachments have that non-terminal thing that usually makes them better.
I don't know. It's
and they have better.
That's an interesting discussion. I mean. They do, but like outside of a cohort deck, like you're not generally seeing many decks that are running like 0 to 3 events and like 10 to 15 attachments. That ratio is normally still flipped the other way. So I don't know. It's an interesting debate.
I don't think any throne deck runs 15 events.
I said 10 to 15. I left myself a range. Plus, I was generalizing to illustrate the point.
I think the max any T1 deck is running outside of maybe Targ is about 6 to 9.
And
I think the expanded setup
in those decks, how many attachments
has severely devalued it? if they're running six, it depends how close to 6 to 9, right? Like,
are they running? Are like they generally running, running more attachments, attachments when they run events?
In Martell, it's almost exactly the same. In Targ, it's there's often about six of each, 6 and 8, so they're fairly similar. Stark tends to run like very few events and can run more heavy attachments. Greyjoy only cares about two events. Like, it depends where you are, right? Like, I don't feel like events are necessarily more popular than attachments, except for houses that just have better.
I feel
like Barra's not running many attachments.
I feel like in general they are still more. But this is a wildly different topic than trying to review these Targaryen cards. Let's loop it back to this, and then maybe we can run some analysis later to talk card types in another episode.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Wait.
Can I read
Martell
card? We
didn't talk about Brazen Beast.
Did everyone rate Stark?
Like, literally at all.
No, it's a card. I mean, it's a card. I mean, I think it's not a good card. But it's a card.
It's interesting.
I give the house an F.
Wow. You got a lot of emotion on that rating.
Just because I don't like him.
I think Gifts to the Widow is actively bad for the game. It's the first card I've seen out of Target in a while where I'm like, I'll play the shit out of that card. That's not good.
It's fair. Jesse's always just looking for ways to abuse the game. Is Brazen Beast a card to even bother thinking about? Like, unless a bunch of stuff gets restricted, you just don't play it.
I mean, I am kind of hoping for some Targ stuff to be added in a future restricted list, but I mean, I think I keep it in the back burner. It may be my Shaga mind going, but in a house with so much discard tech, I do like cards that I can chuck with no qualms at that moment in order to get some kind of value out of them later. Like, it doesn't do much beyond that, but that still makes me keep like considering it going forward.
This is too expensive. There's just so many of those that are basically cheap or free. Like, for this to ever see play that way, you're paying 6 gold for it. I just can't justify a 6 for 4 in a house that has a 1 for 6.
Yeah. I struggle. I mean, feature cards like withholding, but current meta and everything we know, I just don't see how this fits into anything. Guard is just not a trait in Targ. I mean, it's kind of neat. Like, the mechanic is kind of neat, like jumping a little bit, but having to go discard 2 shadows out of shadows, it's just too much.
It's at least a more fair way to cost that recursion.
Yeah, if they didn't have so much broken recursion, this would be fine. But all their other recursion is nuts, so there's no real reason for this one. Also, the house is an A because Gifts to the Widow is good enough that I don't care that Brazen Beast. So.
Yeah, yeah. I would say they get an A for me as well. I don't think I'd actually thrown a letter out there.
Can I talk about Martell cards that make me happy?
I think so.
You treat yourself, Glazer.
Starfall Spy, 3 for 2, Intrigue Power, House Dane and Spy, Shadow 3. After you win a challenge when Starfall Spy is participating, return it to Shadows to choose another card you control and put it into play. Yeah. And then Blood of the Viper, I don't really care if this card exists. 1 cost, Sand Snake, character only, Ambush 2, Legacy. After you lose a challenge in which a test character is participating, stand it. It has to participate, so it's bad. So I'm not running it. I'd rather run Shandystone. But Starfall Spy is amazing.
Okay, so here's a
into Gregor, or what's Gregor called in Shadows?
Sir Robert Strong.
Yeah, into Sir Robert Strong. Like, oh yeah, or like, hey, just use her to get like a plot flip. Or use her to flip into having a suddenly giant military icon that I can win military with and then kill another dude. Like, surprise to claim. Or into Varys with the card that was spoiled in the Great
Boy. That comes to the rules question I was going to ask. Just to double check, because sometimes this type of wording has mattered. because the Starfall Spy does say bring that card out of shadows. It says put it into play. Will that trigger cards like Varus and Makaro that says they have to come out of shadows?
If they're being put into play from shadows, it should.
Okay, just wondering, because I know in first ed, the wording put into play circumvented a lot of that type of thing, and I wasn't sure if that had been addressed in second ed, so.
I mean, if they break this card, I will throw the biggest fit of, you know, like that would be so dumb. Like, there would be no point in this card. Right.
I guess if you are dropping, I don't know, the mountain or something into shadows with the agenda and wanting to bring them out for free, that's about it.
I mean, even then, you still have to pay three or bring
well,
it out for
yeah,
free.
That's fair. Still not free, but at a discount, shall we say.
So, yeah, no, I think that, like, assuming this works as it should, this is completely insanely good, and it's not loyal, so your Lannister Sun deck just gets better too.
Yeah, that provides a very steady engine for Cersei.
God, Martell Kraken probably works real well with this too.
You know,
does Martell Kraken work with this?
Blood of the Viper yep, might not be does. Terrible in some sort of grindy stall deck. I mean, you put it on some chud and you just decide that unopposed is no longer a thing in your game. I can see that being.
But Shandy Stone. Like, why not just run Shandy Stone?
I'm trying.
Not have to have the character.
Protect? I am searching my soul.
And this is a Sand Snake character only.
My blood.
So, like,
yeah.
Small pool. Pretty targeted thing. I mean, this is the most fair stand we've seen in a while.
This pack is busted.
Like, where you'd want to put it is on Doran. Right? And it doesn't go on Doran, so it's not that good. Like, no one else really wants this in Martell.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think about the Sand Snakes. Like, none of them have any abilities that are particularly interesting with this, right? Like, Babara, Nymeria, like...
Nope.
I'm not getting some cool benefit.
I mean, you can...
Yeah.
It's just not good. It'll let you trump challenge where you stand to make a second challenge. It's bad, but Starfall Spy is...
Very good.
A card, and I don't yep. really care about Blood of the Viper because Starfall Spy makes my style of deck way better. So I look forward to putting Bolt Flayers and Sir Archibald Ironwood into play with it with Starfall Spy. It's going to be awesome. So and bringing Varus out of Shadow with what's yep. the name of that card? The Desert Raider.
Yep.
Yeah, with Desert Raider, like put a power on, lose a challenge, put a power on a dude, win an entry challenge. Kill somebody with Varus. I'm all about it.
Yep. Very good. Very good.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So I'm going to give them an A. I think Starfall Spy is amazing.
I'm going to give them a B. I think Starfall Spy is really, really good. I think Blood of Viper is garbage.
Yeah.
I think Blood of Viper is a step up from garbage. I'll give Martell a B.
Oh, man. I hate to say it, but I'm going to go low. B minus. Blood of the Viper is really pulling it down for me.
I'm fine pretending that card doesn't exist.
Our next card or the last one? Okay.
Blood of Viper, we're gonna pretend it exists. Like, I'm just gonna pretend that's not a card. I don't own any of them anyway, so I'm just gonna forget it exists. In like 6 months, Jesse will be like, Blood of the Viper, dog. And I'll be like, wait, it has a card?
Yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Alright, Who's on a Misty Moor?
That is a good question. Is it back
Will hasn't read in a while.
I believe
we
it's
get
Will's turn.
Another neutral song. One cost event action. Choose up to two non-unique characters in your dead pile and return them to your hand. I mean, I love more triggers for, I guess, Tom of Seven Streams since FFG did me wrong on the Minstrel. Ah, man. But, yeah. I mean, song decks are good. It's like a pseudo draw one. It's kind of targeted. I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome with Vince. Like, this is not blowing up every deck, but, like, I think there's a couple homes that want to try it out, and I want to experiment with that.
What's that?
Drowned God.
I mean, Drowned God, for
Drowned
sure.
God. Yeah.
Yep. It's good. I actually don't think this goes in Drawn God, but whatever.
Really? Why?
Yeah, you want your dead pile bigger. I don't think want this card.
But occasionally, like,
the deck is way too tight. Fair. I think the number one spot for this deck is Free Folk.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, Free Folk. I mean,
and they want more Tolemon triggers, right?
And then maybe it goes in Builders. I don't know.
There's a Marvel deck that wants this. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Martell Nun uniques are real good. Being able to say, look, I have two more Dorna Spies, or a Dorna Spy and a Bastard Daughter, is very helpful. This is real home is Darkwing Star Wars, but we still don't have it.
We'll never get it, right?
I don't know.
Well, I just won World, so Kyle's favorite Zenda ever.
Yep.
If I win, I will shake my opponent's hand and just, like, walk to the counter and be like, where do I submit my card idea? Because I have it.
Also, Westeros Bleeds. Right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot that Westeros Bleeds.
Like, just think about how much better this game is if you can get rid of big guys with an event.
All right.
Sure.
Someone I want the last card.
Oh, I'll take this. I'll take Assault and Shadows.
Yeah, it's a C.
Oh, no. I'm going to give it a C.
C.
Yeah?
I love the artwork on it, though.
Me too, actually.
The artwork is super cool.
It's
so
cool. I really love the Assault from the Shadows artwork, too, because I'm pretty sure that's the one just... all right.
No, that's not the one I hate.
What is it, Varys?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get there. I really like the Assault from the Shadows art, but whatever. All right. Assault from the Shadows is an agenda. It is my favorite agenda printed in this game since Reigns of Castamere.
Wow.
Yeah, since Reigns, I think. Marshalling action. Why?
Because, dude, House of the Red Door exists.
They broke it. Wow. House of the Red Door worked like it should. It would be my favorite. But they made it too
easy. So cool.
It should be protected from at least two or three other things. Everything shouldn't screw with it.
Agreed.
This is my favorite because this is like actually awesome and really good. And besides that, we have crap like Wars and you like Kohor, but I can't build Kohor. It's the only deck I just throw my hands up. I'm like, I don't know, Jesse. I guess that your cards are right. you see how little I edit those decks. I'm like, do you want to change a thing? I don't know. Assault from the Shadows. Reduce the gold value of your field by one. Kneel your faction card to choose one card in your hand and place it face down in Shadows with a Shadows token. While that card is in Shadows, if it does not have the printed Shadows keyword, it gains Shadows X this printed cost. Card designed by 2015 European Joust champion Jesus Valdez Gaspar.
Card's real good.
Spaniards make the best cards, I think, is Corey makes the best cards, then Spaniards, I think, is what we're going to go with here.
Card is real, real good.
It's amazing. I can't wait to break it like six different ways. Like
it's an A-plus card.
It's an S card. I think it breaks the scale. I think this card also immediately makes Lannister T1.
So why? I don't disagree. I just feel like we haven't actually said, like, for listeners' sake, why do you think this is?
I'd like to hear a bit more because in the listener questions episode, Kyle had to listen to me berate this card. So
you were very wrong. It's the best economy.
I think this card makes.
It's the best economy agenda we've ever
got. What? No, it's not. It's roughly on par with Fealty.
Oh no, it's way better.
How?
Assuming you're going more than two turns. Because you're getting too limited out of turn.
That's your big play, is that you can sneak in limited?
Have you not been playing second edition? If you don't have economy problems, every other problem goes away. And you're playing a Shadows deck, so you're getting everything for slightly cheaper.
You're not getting everything for slightly cheaper.
You lose a gold off your pot.
You gotta think that you're it's taxing that back. All of your turns
you
are, by one.
You get if you're not getting that back by turn two, you did something wrong.
So here's the thing. I have completely different reasons, because if you ever know anything about me in this game, I don't give a shit about economy. I don't care about it. This card is insane. You just get to do all the winter, like, interplay effects on top, and you don't even have to have flea bottom. This card's sick. This card is so good.
It's like, much I don't more understand costly like, than a flea bottom, though, is.
So you could run both? Like, I don't understand.
Thornish Spy with it, like, does not. What's the one?
This that protects cards in your hand. This, like, I think this card is so sick.
What's the one that bounces a card to hand that stops seeing play? Martell card. Oh, it's the one.
Messenger of the Bounce, or is that?
Yeah, I love that card.
Southron Messenger, right? Southron Messenger Southron Messenger. Yeah. No, Thornish Spy is the icon. That one I know for sure. Thornish Spy, I think, is one of the, like, 3 to 5 best cards in the game. But Thornish Spy and Southron Messenger for 3.
That is the one corner. I don't know if it's corner, but the one case I'll give you is where you can abuse effects.
And I can still use Starfall Spy for all those things. I've still got Ariane and Obara. I've got so many bounce effects in that deck. It's completely insane. I can play things from Ambush. I can play things from Shadows. I can play things with Ariane. I can play things with Flea Bottom. And I can play, now once I have Desert Raider, I can play stuff from my dead pile.
Oh, wait.
There's literally, like, I've got so many options. My everything except literally my actual deck is my hand.
So do you remember, like, a few months ago when Kohor was released and I was like, oh, this card's busted. Like, someone's going to just break this card. And then Nico just, like, broke it in back-to-back months. If you don't think Nico's not going to break this card with Lanny, you're insane. Like, he's going to bust this card.
Lanny has the worst interplay effects, except they have Cersei and the best shadow location.
Like, I just think this card is so good.
So then you're beholden on getting those, and then the other stuff to power it. And you're right, they don't have any good enters play effects. They all specifically have to be ambushed in.
Well, they also have a lot of good from Shadows effects, and the Hound didn't suddenly stop existing, right?
Why do you need a Shadows in the Hound?
I mean, yeah.
Because it makes him cheaper, and it's good, and then you can trigger all your enter play from Shadows stuff.
Maybe I just need to play with it. I'm not saying it's not good. It's not
cheaper than Ambush.
No, because you're already one gold down, and then you have to pay three to bring him out.
I have played with this already. You will offset that before you're aware of it. You are not accurately assessing the sheer amount of time on turn 1 and 2 that you have that extra limited. The second you have a limited out of turn 2, you have offset this agenda.
So how many limited cards are you running to push that up
here? I don't ever have that kind of logjam. I don't feel like there's a lot of time where I'm sitting on limiteds waiting to play them. Maybe I've just gotten used to it.
I think I'm running about 11 economy cards right now between limited and non-limited economy.
Your argument.
I could
Jesse's argument I buy. Like, 11. I see exotic plays here that are cool. I don't see Glazer's economy argument at all.
I still...
Well, okay. Jesse, do you think we will? Do you think Glazer's running?
Yeah, I mean, Glazer and Naj have done the math. It works out. I trust them.
It's the best economy.
I mean, I definitely don't see the game from that perspective. Like, you guys, I'm with you guys, but, like, if Glazer and Naj have done the math on it, like, I trust them.
So, I mean, I didn't do the math. I just went, wait, this is an accelerated economy, and then I made Naj do math, if we're going to be honest.
Right.
I don't trust math. I asked Naj to do math. No, it's fine. Well, no one should trust my math. I'm an English teacher.
But I do think the shadow is really good. Like, I think the game is finally getting to the point where, like, the agendas are just, like, in a good spot. Like, I think it's really cool. Like, Kohor's good. Assault from the Shadows is good. Sea of Blood's going to be good. Like, Free Folk is good. Like, I like all these. These are really cool.
This is also the second best control agenda in the game. How well do you know me? Do you know what the first is?
Control agenda?
Reigns?
I'm going to be real disappointed if none of you get this.
I tried.
No, God, ew.
It's Banner Wolf.
What? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Will. It is Banner Wolf. Banner Wolf remains the best
story.
All right, I give it an A+. A++.
I give it an S. I think it's immediately one of the top three agents in the game.
I think it's gonna
I think it'll win tournaments. I think it'll be a lot more popular in Europe. Americans are boring. It'll be like Cohort America. There will be a few like close group of Americans who like this agenda a lot and will play it.
But, you can just say Longlands. It's not like we're a secret group.
Oh no, I bet Colt Humbert loves this agenda.
Oh god,
he's gonna break.
Colt probably saw this and broke down in tears at its beauty.
I bet Colt is gonna love this agenda. I mean, I bet Alex Black and them like this agenda too. Seems good. They like control.
Yeah, but the Red Cloaks won't like it.
I mean,
unless they steal one of your decks.
Sure, right? Sure. I think it's good. I like it. What do you rate it, Will? I'm curious.
I mean, I don't think it's like actively like bad. And I definitely expect to see like people jump on it, and we see a big spike of people experimenting. But I think we see it drop off pretty hard after that. I think it settles out at like a B to B+.
All right. Interesting. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, you scare me a lot. I like Shadows as a mechanic. Like, I think it's cool. Like, I don't doubt its coolness, and the decks that will use it, I will find interesting and exciting. I want to play them. I'm not at the point where I'm going, this is busted, and I do think it's the kind of card, I agree with you, like Kohor, where the right combination of cards will, like, you just have to find the right come into play effect that has a proceed. Until now, the mechanism to pay for it is really expensive, and this lets you cheat it in. Like, as soon as you find two or three of those effects that you can abuse, this agenda is amazing.
Yeah. Have you met my friend Ramsey?
I'm just saying, I'm not going to find it, and I don't think when they find it, they're going to tell me about it till they win something. So, and a year from now, I'm super excited to see
Ramsey Bolton. Ramsey Snow, whatever his name is.
You don't cheat him in. Like, this doesn't help you.
It doesn't make it cheaper. It's not about what it does. It's about when it does it.
I guess. Whatever.
Oh, man. I just thought of the coolest play. I'll tell Jesse later.
I do think they're very cool plays with it. So I'm going to give it a B+, A-. I am hopeful and excited. And I will try to go find those effects. But Glazer's thing is dumb. I don't like Glazer's.
You're wrong. All right.
Kyle could have Varus.
This art's so bad.
It is. Can we talk about that for a second? Like, it is. This is such an unbelievable card. I think this would be a staple in a lot of Shadows decks for a long time. I think it's really good. This art is atrocious. He doesn't even have fingers on his left hand. Look at him. It's just a nub.
It's almost like Rob Liefeld.
Might as well be. Ooh. Yeah, it might as well be Jamie Lannister's arm there. My gosh. And we've already gotten a Crossbow Varus. Can we get something? Like, if we get another one, can we just get a good one?
No. The long and the short of it is no. You cannot.
Well, you better get used to the art. You're going to be seeing a lot of this card.
I know. I'm immediately going to make an alt art of this card. Do not worry. Like, this card is trash. This art is so bad. And, like, what's up with his eyes and his nose? And, like, Varus isn't Tyrion. He's not deformed.
He's just kind of pale.
Sorry. I'm not getting off on a rant here. Like, I just can't handle it. It's so bad.
Oh man!
Yeah, not a fan.
The more you have me looking at it,
now, Kyle.
The more it's messing with me.
It's bad.
Okay. On a more positive. How about Kyle? Give us the text.
Four cost. Neutral. Sorry. Four cost. Four strength. Intrigue icon. Ally and Lord. Shadow 8 and stealth. But you can reduce the cost to bring Varus out of Shadows by 1 for each other card in Shadows. key point there, not just yours. And reaction after Varys comes out of shadows, choose and kill a character with power. So to make up to Jesse, he is a melee god, if there ever was one.
I think he's just a god in general. But yes, I agree with you. I think this card is very, very good.
Shadows in melee, though? Like, I think people are going to stick on the board.
It, like, the cost efficiency is tough.
But in Joust, though.
In Joust.
So in Joust, I think you can only run it, or you should only be running it, if you've got a way to put power on your opponent's character.
Yeah, I was just thinking, does Bera have any way to do that? Oh, there's move it off, don't they?
I think it's anywhere, right? Is it not?
I mean, there's definitely a card called Consolidation of Power.
Crap out at, what, four cost? Is it on Consolidation or four, I mean, four strength?
Four strength.
That's a good Tyrion Lannister kill. Yeah, I would take that kind of thing. And like,
that's a good Hisdark kill. That's a good Dany kill. I mean, like,
poor cat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not real good against Greyjoy, but Greyjoy is going to put renown on somebody. This card is the card that gets you playing, whatchamacallit. Wow, there goes that thought. Sean posted. I read his post. Sorry. Continue, guys.
I really like what that new agenda we just talked about.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I reduce him by one then?
This is an...
Okay.
What do you mean reduce him by one? Reduce him by four.
What? With the agenda?
Right? Oh, wait, no. That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. You're good.
I mean, no, with something else like Elena or the... Starfall Spy, you could be reducing him by more, but Kyle had just mentioned the agenda.
I mean, it's amazing with Clever Feint. It's amazing with Marjorie. It's amazing with the agenda just because it gets so cheap. Like, if you can make this cheap enough, it's just really worth using. It's ultimately a Lannister card and a Martell card, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.
Man,
because Martell has the Starfall Spy and a way to put power on a
player. I still think there's going to be a Tyrell Shadows build, too.
This card is, and I think this good is in Tyrell, Lannister, Martell, and I think it's good in Barra too.
I think it will really be good in Barra. I don't know if it's there yet. Although, I mean, I guess it's all from the shadows, right?
Yeah,
I think this card's good. I'm gonna give it a B.
I'm gonna give it an A. Yeah. But this is another reason, why.
I would give it an A if I thought that Rush.
That like with Martell, it's really easy to kill Rush using this card.
Sure, I agree with you. I just like Shadows of A.
Okay, actually, it's not A, which I take back because I realized why is my brain turning itself off?
I don't know.
Blah.
Been enjoying a beverage while.
I'm just completely exhausted. The baby woke up at 3 in the damn morning last night, so I'm just fried. There was a reason. I swear there was a reason. Oh, because his name is Varys. Aha. Because the other thing that makes Rush real sad is getting his board real Varys. And it's the other reason why we're making Westeros bleed. Because then you can play Westeros bleed and it's Varys.
I think
it's a B card because I like
It'll be really
the other Varys might be my favorite card in the game.
Yeah, I like bees. I mean, but he can win you. He will win you games, and I don't know. But yeah, I think even though he's neutral, he sees very limited application outside of Laney and Martell.
No, I think B seems very reasonable. He does like a lot, but not overpowered.
Ravage us, Jesse.
Oh god, I love this card so much. Ravages of War. It's a plot. It's a 4/6/1/6 war traded. When revealed, each player sacrifices a character or location, chooses and discards one card from his or her hand, and chooses and discards one card from his or her shadows area if able. This card is sweet.
Where are you playing it?
I love it. Where am I not playing it? Mm-hmm. Where am I playing it? I think this card is super good. I think this card is really good in a lot of decks. I think this card is insane in Stark.
Stark is where I was figuring it's almost. Because in Stark, you get the extra benefit from sacking your character. You've got a note location that you, or you've got an note location you don't care about. And you can just make sure the important cards aren't in shadows.
I think it's not bad in Targ either. I mean, I'm sacking characters and discarding cards from hand. Like,
yep,
I don't care about stuff going to the discard pile.
I think this card is I just like the design space of this card.
Maybe the really best.
I don't know if it'll be very. I don't think it'll be ubiquitous. But I like
Chella melee card I've ever seen. Like, if you just want to watch the world burn, play a couple of these. I think this is also more in that vein of them not trusting shadows as much. Like, we saw three pretty strong anti-shadows cards in this pack.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It almost makes me think that some of these houses that maybe you only want to look at like one or two shadows cards, like that may not be a great idea for them. Like, you may really need to go wide there. That said, I'm really going to love banishing someone from the light and then ravaging them. That's going to be fun.
Barrow Wolf is going to be awesome. Barrow Wolf is going to be D1. Yeah, it's gold starved. And like it would be nice if... it would be nice
non-rookery deck.
At some point in this game's history, Barrow got an economy card that wasn't the worst of all the economy cards.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like this card. I give it a B.
C plus. I don't think it sees a lot of play outside of Baron Star. Maybe Martell. Very.
Yeah, I'm a C minus kind
of. I just don't think it.
I'll try it in a lot of different stuff.
I don't think it works in Clansmen.
No, it definitely does not. Hell no. You can't be sacrificing characters' locations. We don't have very many of them. We can't just be giving away cards in our hand either. We don't have any draw. No, absolutely not.
I think it's tough. I think if the shadows part is the linchpin for me, if you start to see problem cards that you're worried about, they become pretty ubiquitous, then yeah, I could see running this. But otherwise, I'm not quite sure it's doing enough for me with that stat line to make the cut. I think this is probably like a top 10 plot that I consider a lot for a slot, but I just don't know if it makes it as much as I want it to.
That's fair. I also do think it's really good melee. So
yes.
I'm always a sucker for melee cards.
Be very strong melee.
Melee?
Yep.
Yes. So yeah, that's the chapter pack. That's really good. Is it? This might be.
It's a pretty
insane level. This chapter pack is insane.
Gets at least one good thing, and most houses get two.
Yeah, geez, the last pack we could say where every house got something good. Whew, that's been quite a while.
There was that Flea Bottom pack that had like three or four busted ass cards.
Yeah, that was a very good one.
What's the name of that pack?
I don't know offhand. We'll find it. Oberyn's Revenge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Oberyn's Revenge is better than this still, although Barrow got complete trash in that one. Although it got Jesse's favorite card.
Jeez, I don't know. Lanny got Case Merchant in that one, so like...
I thought the... am I wrong? I thought the... the Shadow City pack was like super busted.
The Shadow City? It's a good start. Yeah, Scheming Inception.
Genesis Impact was Robert Strong. Aegon, Bolton Flare.
It's really good.
Yeah, Janos Slint,
Shadow
Nighttime
Priest.
Marauders, Northern Armory, Garrus Drinkwater,
Change of Information,
Shadow Priestess, Shadow City Varamyr.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, though, I think this cycle is the best cycle we've had, for sure. Like, this is the completion of the cycle. I think this cycle saved
then we get a great go back.
The best
no
cycle
new
we've ever seen.
To ruin everything.
Yeah.
I do think it's that good. If you look back at, like, the other day I went back and that's why I remember the Shadow City. I went back and I read through each cycle and I kind of was trying to judge them based on the cycles. And I read some of the reviews. And, like, I think this cycle is the best cycle we've ever had. Like, with the sheer power level of cards and the sheer balance of the factions, mostly.
Honestly,
faction balance is definitely better. Like, just in the context of, like, just the cards in this set, that power level is much more even across the board.
I mean, like, the thing is like,
well, except for Stark,
could
just got
I think five but... different houses, possibly six, could win Worlds in 2 days and like or 3 days or whatever. And like, I don't think anyone would be surprised. Like, what I would be surprised.
Lannister and Barrett can't win.
I don't know. Nico's coming. Like, oh no, he's playing Targ. Never mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably. I mean,
I don't think Martell can.
I don't know. Martell Wars can still win for sure.
I don't think anyone's taking it.
I know a good player who's taking it. Brandon Zimmer is taking it. He has the possibility to win. Brandon Zimmer is a very good player. But like, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the two that can't win is Tyrell and Barra.
Yeah. Those are the two that, like, I don't even see them, and I've been grinding out games, just, I know it's randos, but no one's even, like, bothering to build it. Even garbage is just to throw it out there and see what happens. Like, it's...
I think Tyrell was too big. Like I think Tyrell got hit by the restricted list with the Mason Hightower, and I think so many people are running, like, Tyrell Dragon got big too quickly before Worlds, and then everyone was like, well, we're just going to run attachment hate. Like,
yeah.
And then Tyrell Dragon just can't beat Greyjoy. So I just don't see a good Tyrell deck coming. Maybe I'll be surprised. I don't know. I don't know any good players that are playing. I don't know of any good players that are playing Tyrell. I don't know of any players that are playing Tyrell. Oh, no. I know one good player from Chicago playing Tyrell. He's playing Tyrell what? Dragon Kohor.
So,
Since this is coming out after, I'll say nobody I've been trying to talk to has told me they're playing Tyrell.
Yep.
So I think it's important that, like, I think Tyrell isn't in a bad place, though. I just think that, like, people have to come up with completely new builds.
Correct. And I don't think there was enough time.
Not the time to do that. But I also think that the power level of Tyrell is about where the power level of the game should be. If everything got restricted to about the power level of current Tyrell, I think the game is in a much healthier place. It's in a much less swingy place.
I think I would be pretty okay with it if they were all basically in line with that.
Man, like, this is my first episode in a while. This was I missed this. This was good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call myself a chapter pack fanatic, and I really enjoyed this chapter pack.
I think this was a good assortment for a CP review.
I just like going back and listening to when I'm on chapter pack reviews, and like, I'm super, 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 like, I never give anything like a bad rating unless like I just think it's bad for the game. So like, I'm always wrong. Like, I'm always right too, so it's always great. Like, I'm always like, oh, this card's good, this card's cool.
I hope that's one way to do it.
I used to get mad shit for that on first ed chapter pack reviews, because I'd always try and be like, well, here's this weird corner case where I'd like to have this card. I'm like, in this moment, this is nice.
I just want to know what goes in the next year Worlds deck.
All right. Cool. We'll be right back.
props and slops?
Idea. I don't. Obviously, it's way too late in this episode, but before some major tournament, when we do one of these where the episode doesn't come out till afterwards, we should give fake tournament reports that come out. That, like, yeah, I brought this Targ deck. All I played was Greyjoy Weenies all day. It was awesome. The dream. Yeah,
that's what you want.
Look at my crossing deck. I'm like, you want to take that first challenge? Let's party.
Quick, someone schedule a tournament near April Fool's Day so we can make this episode line up.
My name day tourney is always.
Hey, there we go.
Because my birthday is March
31st. Maybe we can make it happen. Yep.
Yeah, so props and slops.
Props and slops.
I'm going to prop the Thrones community. I'm going to get to see them in a few days, but at the time you hear this, I will have already seen them. But I think that there hasn't been hardly any negative drama on either Facebook page in a long time. I think the competitive spirit is running like super high. Like new teams are being formed. Like, I think that's so cool. Like, people are testing together and building together. Like, I really think that's interesting. I'm really excited to see the dynamic of that at Worlds, and just see everyone. I think that's really cool.
I want to prop Roy for running Thronestoberfest, running a team event. It's a giant pain in the ass. He did a great job, and I also want to prop Team Martell. Because while we might not one of one, you guys won my heart.
I will. Somebody? I'm gonna. Yeah, I will. I'll be back on Jesse, and I will prop the amount of the way this community seems to be. I don't say reinventing itself, but I've had, you know, people become friends and reach out to me and work on decks and work on, you know, grinding out games, and it's been interesting to watch the communities kind of come together. And this is probably the most excited I've seen a lot of people for this game in quite a while, which I think, you know, to Jesse's point, speaks to the health of the meta right now, health of the community. I don't know. It feels good again. I'll admit, this time last year, I was not feeling the best about all this. But the last 12 months have done wonders. So,
that's awesome. Yeah, I'm probably the only one feeling in the opposite direction right now, but that's just because I can't make it to Worlds this year. So the envy, shall we say, is getting pretty fierce as everybody around me is gearing up. So,
but you're going to
between that and having blown time and money on Scotland and vacations and things, it just wasn't in the cards. So
you don't.
It's all good. I'm just gonna be missing Worlds. Just gonna be missing it.
I'm not going either.
Okay.
I just. I wish. I almost.
Glazer plays more than all of us.
Maybe I could.
That's super accurate.
In fairness, no problem. You're the one who just decided not to sleep to play for three straight days.
Well, that's pretty killer.
But in general, I play more.
Let's see. Props to Red Dead Redemption 2. Good. Waited a long time for that game. It's been very good. I haven't been able to play as much as I wanted because I've been trying to, because I was on my Worlds deck for a while, and then my team convinced me that I should not play JonTron, so I had to actually play some Thrones the past couple days.
Whatever. So going into Worlds, because since this will come out after, especially, I'm honestly curious. What do you think of our Worlds deck?
Yeah. Who, me? I feel good. I mean, we have one bad matchup that's going to be prevalent there. So,
what do you think that matchup is?
I think the Europe's going to be on Stark attrition, like mid-range attrition, Ramsey, Skagos. I think that'll be a bad matchup for us. We got to go wide early. I mean, I trust Kyle. I don't really know too much. Like, I mean, we are all taking Stark Skagos, but we're taking Tully Rush, like Fat Cat stuff. So it's a very passive power deck.
Ooh, everybody's going to love that.
So we don't really care about burn too much. We don't really care about crossings. We don't need to do challenges back. We just defend out. It's very much like our mace deck. Like it's a very Jesse and Roy deck for sure. Like, it's very passive power, like just like kind of stop whatever you're trying to do and then just go all in on cat. So that's what we're doing.
No sharing that.
I feel good.
Why? Listen, I'm in the chats. We talk about, well, me and Jesse talk about decks. Glazer's a clamshell, but.
Yes, someone in this group has to be.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I mean, I feel good. I feel really, I mean, I always get so excited for Worlds because, like, it's the one time of the year where, like, the best players from Europe come over. And, like, they're coming over in another big, big group this year. And, like, I want to beat them. Like, I want America to beat them.
I don't want all of America to beat them. I like some of the Europeans more than some of the Americans.
I love you. Oh, I love the Europeans. I love the Europeans. But, like, there's just, like, so much to pull for. Like, even if you're not doing all, like, it's like, I pull for the Lances. But if no one's playing the Lances, like, I pull for, like, oh, like my Midwest guys, like, you know, I don't test with the Quincy guys, but like they're from Illinois. Like, I love them. Like,
I'd be rooting for Mama in that match, although he's Lance's extended fan.
Like Kyle, you know, like the, like my fellow podcast guy, like I don't test with NorCal and stuff, but like I want Alejandro to do well. I want CT to do well. I want Alex to do well. Like, it's just, but everyone can't do well. So like, it's always just like a roller coaster of emotions between yourself and your own ability based on like the inclusiveness of like how inclusive the community is. Like, your friends are going to do, like, some of your friends are just going to do badly. Like, that's always sad, but it's always exciting because some of your friends are going to do well too, because you're just friends with everyone in the game.
And then you have to play them and you're sitting in cuts and it's like, one of us is getting our dreams crushed. Either I have to do it to you or you're going to do it to me. I've done that.
But it's still cool because like someone's going on. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I always get really excited for these big events. Not only to see, like, my friends, but, like, the drinking, like, shots or plots, melee. Oh. Okay, all right. You'll love this. I am playing Martell Reigns with Change of Plans and Prince Thorn's Behest. Oh,
nice.
And shots or plots, melee, just to try to trigger every time.
Yeah, love it.
I thought you'd enjoy that, Will.
The dream right there.
That's great. So
when is the is that tomorrow that he's doing the announcement on who he's picking?
It's Saturday night. Oh yeah. I think Samuel will announce probably tomorrow. That's tomorrow tight.
Like, I picked a stage name and everything. I tried real hard to charm it up. We'll see how well I do.
Yeah, I hope you can come. Are you gonna play a ranged deck though? That's the best, dude. If there's four ranged
decks. So as a rule, every time anyone drops a plot.
Anytime anyone drops a plot, everyone takes a shot.
Party. Everyone.
There's also judge. It's brutal because there's also judges standing by. Every time you make a misplay and the judge calls you on it, you got to take a shot. Dude, it's brutal. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's
maybe
a lot of fun.
You can get it on the big
screen. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, absolutely. That's how we should do the final table for first player next year, Will.
I love it. I love it.
Does anyone else have any more props and slots? Go.
Nah. Oh, go for it. Oh. Well, aside from that, I'll throw out a slop to Christmas decorations. Jeez Louise. Like,
I saw your post yesterday about Branson.
Yeah, for listeners that maybe don't know what Branson is, the best description I've ever seen of it is
imagine Las Vegas, but run by Ned Flanders. That's Branson. It's like half.
That's pretty balanced, yeah. Actually. That's good. That's the best description of Branson, Missouri I've ever heard.
It encapsulates so much. But it's like half an hour away from Springfield. So we went down there to do some shopping and like look at the trees and stuff. And I realized when the lights started coming on because it was dark that Branson has already started decorating for Christmas, like fucking everywhere.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. I dropped an F-bomb on the show. Yeah, I'm going to have to edit myself. So
you can't say fuck at all. I thought there was like a limit on
that. Is there a fuck quota?
Well, you're going overboard.
Yeah, you're using
Glazer.
Up everyone else's.
I mean, for fuck's sake, gotta be able to say fuck. There they go. Fucking want to.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're
an awful
me.
Person, Glazer.
How is this news to anyone? Wait, hey, can I press?
I've heard very mixed reviews.
Really,
oh, I need to start that. It looks good.
It's not.
Everyone I know, but Jeffy likes.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good stuff so far.
It's not near as dark as it like. The
I didn't watch it. I thought it was dark.
Huh. Okay.
I think it does an interesting job of portraying teenagers. I wish there were more teenagers rather than archetypes. But I think it does an interesting job, and I think it does a good job of like what it's trying to do, which is say something about what it means to be a woman in America in this era, and like. Beyond being an interesting watch and having some like cool plot lines, I think it does a good job of like asking good questions.
I will throw props to the new Halloween. If you like horror movies and you like Michael Myers, Ooh. It is literally probably the second best one after the original.
Really?
It is very
good. I really like Halloween too.
Yeah, I love that. I loved it. I've seen it in theaters twice.
Okay, I need to go see that. You sold me.
It was very good. Jamie Lee Curtis kills it. If you like Jamie Lee Curtis as well, like I'm a sucker for Jamie Lee. So
I've got to go see
very
the Nutcracker this weekend.
Oh, nice. Kyle, do you have yours now?
I do. I will begin the annual rites of propping up my wintertime players tournament. So if you go to www, I paid $10 to say this, www.iaworldsagot.com, you can check out IaWorlds' new date and location. Things are getting, I'm hoping, a little bigger this year. So we've booked a bar 2 blocks from us, has an upstairs. So we'll have our own server, our own bartender. We have the whole room all day.
Nice.
Kind of stretch our legs a little bit. Pretty big space. And then after party back here. The website is up. There are early bird tickets, so that are $5 off. So jump on that. I think the only thing that's still missing is merch.
I am buying my badge stuff. Literally right now.
The theme, and I feel bad because I saw Roy's Throne's Toberfest. You never think should like to talk about themes with people, but we're going American Revolution, so like we've got house cards with all the characters as like colonial figures. We're doing some Hamilton stuff just to make Chris Schoenthal happy.
Just Schoenthal? You sure it's not to make Danny happy?
All right, my wife is pleased. So like the shirt is like the Hamilton star, but instead of Hamilton on top,
ooh,
the Iron Throne. That's says, like amazing. Iowa World in the middle. So there's some cool stuff that's going on. I'm still working out the swag package, but I'm very excited for this year. So if people want to start putting on their calendars, January 12th, it is no longer World's Weekend. I always said that if Thrones got the premiere time slots that I would move it, because the point was to give it for people who only had the weekend to play. And now they do. I think X and 2 on Saturdays, about pretty generous of FFG. So hopefully all my friends who would be at IO Worlds are up there kicking ass. So I will see you all there instead, and we will meet up here in Iowa in January. So awesome. Go check that out.
Awesome.
Message the White Book if you have any questions, blah, 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 the usual plugs. Hope to see you there.
There we go. And that will definitely not be the Danger Zone.
Oh! dangerous there. Iowa Worlds will be the danger zone. If Ring's gets to play chandeliers again,
whatever that was, trouble. Once Ring got involved. Yeah.
It was bad. It's quarters on with a turbo mode is how he described it to me.